Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 30 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and I'm here today to talk to you about petty cash, a function, if you will, that I'm not real fond of. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Okay, that probably wasn't a great way to start by saying, hey, I'm going to talk about petty cash and I'm not fond of it. But I hope that by going through, I have some stories here, which is not the way we usually do this thing, but and I'm in all these stories. So I hope that by the time I'm finished, you'll see my point of view. Hopefully I'll have given you a little information and maybe even have entertained you a little bit. Okay, so let's get started. You know, petty cash are those boxes that some companies have that have cash in them, and they reimburse employees for out-of-pocket expenses that could not be reimbursed other ways. Or at least so they think. I believe they could. But let me start off with by talking about a story, all these stories I'm involved into in one way or another. And this is something that happened at the company that I worked for, one of my first jobs when I was first out of school, you know, back in the dinosaur age. So at that time, the company had a petty cash box. And I was the assistant cash manager, and the cash manager was a fellow named Dan. And we were pretty good friends, and we were both fairly new to the job. And the company had an active and robust petty cash box, if you will. And this made him crazy. I was too green to realize at that point that petty cash was not really an optimum function. And one of the things that this company did is there was an accounting group that worked every Saturday. And what the manager would do is if you worked on Saturday, he would buy you lunch. So the whole group would come in and he'd buy lunch. Honestly, not a great transaction, but whatever. It is what it is. And what he would do is he would come in on Friday and he would put an IOU in the cash box and take $100 or $200 so he'd have money to buy the lunch on Saturday. And my friend, who was, I'm going to give credit where credit was due, who was a few years older than me and had been around a little bit, this made him nuts because he realized what a weak control and what a bad idea this was. And he used to always say to me, you know that, you know what, he's going to die on me one weekend and I'm going to be stuck with this IOU in the petty cash box. And I'd say to him, Dan, don't say that, because I always felt like that was bad karma. And another week would go by and he'd be in with his IOU and he would come in on Monday with the receipt and buy it back and everything would be fine. And sure enough, don't you know, one weekend he had a heart attack and he died. And I always felt like, oh, well, I hope we didn't jinx him. And at this point, my friend was berserk. He said, I knew it. I knew I was going to get stuck. What am I supposed to do now? Well, this particular case, it worked out fine. He had a number of friends in the company. They came and they bought the IOU out of the box and we were good. But it demonstrates one of the problems with petty cash, and that is when people put IOUs in the box. Now, that shouldn't happen, but it does, and it happens all the time. So if you do have a petty cash box, if your organization insists on having one, rule number one should be no IOUs in the petty cash box, because eventually you're going to get stuck. Hopefully not the way my friend did. Okay, so my next story, I moved on and I had a more advanced job and I went to work for a company, and what we would do is once a month we'd have a little celebration and we'd celebrate all the birthdays for different people in the organization. We usually got a fancy cake, but it was the summer, and we were thinking, like, what could we do a little different? And we were in New York City, like you couldn't tell from my accent. But anyway, we were in New York City. We were in Manhattan, and somebody came up with the idea is that, you know, the ice cream men that are on the street in the summer in New York, you'll see men with little carts. I guess they don't have to be men, but they are. And they'll sell ice cream out of them. And somebody thought, wouldn't it be fun if we could have this guy come in with his ice cream cart into our department, and that would be the birthday celebration for that month. So we thought that was a good idea. Somebody went down and made an arrangement with him, and yeah, he would come in about 3 o'clock. And what he did is after he finished with his lunch crowd, he went back to wherever he goes back to, and he loaded up that thing with ice cream. Now, our department had maybe, it was two departments, we had maybe 30 people. So, you know, we were thinking, okay, 30 ice cream pops. I think they were $2 or $3 each. So we had $100. We'd gotten authorization for this, and we had $100 to spend on it. So he came in with the ice cream cart. Well, this raised such, everybody was all agaga. Oh my God, they have an ice cream man in Treasury. And he came up the elevator. He, you know, went through the handicap exit, got on the elevator, came right through reception, and everybody saw him. And so he came in, and we said, just give people what they want. And so he started giving out the ice cream. Well, word spread like wildfire. And before we knew it, we had people in the department. We had people from all departments. And at one point I looked out, and the head of the law department with the legal department was there. And so I said to my boss, the treasurer, I said, Pat, what are we going to do? Jerry's out there getting ice cream. How are we going to pay for all this? So she said, well, you can't go out there and tell him he can't have ice cream. I mean, that would be political suicide. And I was like, yeah, I was kind of hinting that she go out and do it. And she was having no part of it. So we stood back. We really didn't know what to do. And at the end of the day, we had a bill for $300. So I said to her, what are we going to do? We only have $100. We only got $100 for this. Our people have eaten $300 worth of ice cream. She said to me, get the money out of the petty cash box and we'll worry about it later. So I got the money out of the petty cash box, didn't even put an IOU in it, and we paid the ice cream man and off he went. Clearly, we hadn't thought that one through well. Big surprise there. So, you know, we sat around and we're like, what are we going to do? So we talked about it, and we decided, we had receipts from when we went out to eat on a personal basis, you know, credit card receipts. So we got two together that added up to $200, and I put in for reimbursement, and then we reimbursed the petty cash box out of that. Was that the right way to go? No, it was not the right way to go. And it brings up the point of sometimes people will put things in petty cash that they shouldn't, that they could not get approved on an expense report. And that was the point. She said, if I go down to Joel, who was the chief operating officer and who would have to approve her expense reports, and tell him I want $300 for ice cream, he's going to have my head. He's not going to approve it. So this was a way of getting around the T&E, the travel and entertainment issue, because we couldn't get it approved. And was this the right thing to do? No, it was not the right thing to do. Personally, I think she should have, you notice I was pushing this all off on her, she should have gone down and, you know, had the fight with him, had the good fight, if you will, or she was the treasurer of the whole company. She could have paid for it herself. Those, to me, are the really right options, not, hey, let's get some phony receipts and put them through petty cash, because, and that's sometimes what happens in companies, things that cannot be put through on normal, through the normal process, because they won't be approved. They don't meet your travel policy. So if you have a petty cash box, do not allow people to put things through there that they can't get approved through normal channels. All right. Before I continue with some more of my stories from my devious past, if you will, let's take a moment and have a message from our sponsor, Stamply. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers, while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches, and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, AP, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. All right, on to my next story. This is back to my first job. After a while, by some miracle, I managed to get myself promoted out of being assistant cash manager, and I got a job elsewhere in the company. And so my friend Dan with the petty cash box was on the third floor, the second or third floor, I forget now, and I was up on the sixth or eighth floor. So if I wanted to cash a check, which we did all the time, what I would have to do is not get on the elevator and go down. I'd have to get on the elevator, go down to the lobby, then take a walk over and take another elevator bank up to the second floor, which was too much work as far as I was concerned. So since we cashed personal checks in the petty cash box, not a good idea, not a good use of his time, and I wanted to continue this, I made a deal with him. I would write my check, and then I would call him up and I'd say, okay, I'm sending down a check for $50, and I would put it in a mnemonic tube that would go up and down with the floor, and he'd go over to the and stand waiting for the tube to come down. And when the tube came down and he opened it, my $50 check was in there. He would put the $50 or whatever it was that I wanted in the pneumatic tube, and up it would come to me. Okay, so this was the way the little princess got her cash for the weekend. Okay, was this a good use of his time? No, it was a terrible use of his time. Now, the saving grace for me with this story is that at least I was cashing checks where I had money in the bank. Sometimes people will cash personal checks and they'll post-date them. And so they'll give the person running the petty cash box, you know, a $50 check that's post-dated, you know, 2 days after payday, or, you know, can you hold this till payday? Okay. A, the petty cash box should not be a personal banker for anybody within the company, and nor is it a good use of your executive's time that they, you know, cash personal checks. But this is what we did. Okay. So if you're doing that, don't cash personal checks, because then you also have the problem if the check bounces trying to collect on it and the fees associated with that. So you just, and it's not a good use of your employee's time. With, you know, 24-hour access today to banks and cash machines, there's no reason why anybody should be cashing personal checks anymore. So hopefully none of you listening are doing that. So now the last story goes back to a really questionable practice. So we in Treasury Department at this was my third job, I think. We had responsibility for the petty cash box, and needless to say, nobody was jumping up and down trying to get that responsibility. You know, hey boss, let me do that. There was none of that. But we gave it. We had one of our employees. He was assigned to it, and he did it. To be fair, he was pretty good about it. He never complained. He also ran the football pool, which I know we shouldn't have had a football pool, but we did. And he sometimes got a little loosey-goosey with the money. And so sometimes with the football pool, you know, the football happens over the weekend, and then there's Monday night football. So in theory, he should have been paying people out on Tuesday. But sometimes he'd spent the money from the football pool. That was not a good situation. And we didn't get paid till Thursdays. So on more than one occasion, he dipped into the petty cash box and paid them out. And then when he got paid, reimbursed the petty cash box. He actually reported to me indirectly, and I was not aware that he was doing this. In fact, neither was his direct supervisor until he was well established into doing it. And so our simple response there was, we waited it out. I'm not sure that's a great solution either for the football season to end. And then we decided if he's doing the football pool next year, he's not doing petty cash, or he can't do both. And the money should not be commingled. That was an issue that resolved itself. So people who run the petty cash box, or whether they run it or not, should not be using it. They should not be commingling funds. They should not be using it, you know, because they run short a day or two before payday. And without a doubt, the football pool funds should not have been commingled with the petty cash funds. In fact, we probably shouldn't even admit we had a football pool. Okay, so those are some questionable practices that went on. As I said, I was associated with them all. I'm not pointing fingers. I realize it happens. Realizing also the amount of time that gets spent on petty cash, and the fact, by the way, that when you have a petty cash box, even if you have somebody honest running it, inevitably it's going to be out of balance. And when it's out of balance, there's always a little less money in the box than there should be. Rarely is there more money than you expect there to be. So if you at all possibly can do it, get rid of petty cash. You know, today everybody has a credit card. You can get cash 24/7 from the bank. We have travel cards. There's really no reason why organizations really need to have a petty cash box. So get rid of it if you at all possibly can. But sometimes the corporate culture will be such that the company doesn't want you to get rid of it. And so if you can't get rid of it, you know, you have to pick your battles, especially in the corporate world. Then what you want to do is minimize its use. So that means minimize the items that can go through there, minimize the dollar amount. So, hey, we won't reimburse anything over $100, and then drop it down to $50. Anything that should be put on an expense report should not be in the petty cash box, and minimize the frequency. You know, do reimbursements once a week or once a month, so people don't, you know, look at it as an easy way to get reimbursed. Okay. But really, if you can, get rid of the petty cash box, because it's just a lot of effort for not very little value. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to this AP Now podcast. And a special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review the episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever. To be alerted to new episodes, visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week e-zine. It contains tips and news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, free article postings, and new episodes of the AP Now podcast and more. Thank you for joining. I hope to see you on another AP Now podcast soon.